In which case, the last item on the agenda for today is to hear the report backs from our breakout sessions, and I guess I may as well take them in numerical order. Well, Riaz, I think you drew number one, so if you would.
Thanks, Paul. On the first question of whether to permit the use of IFRS for SMEs by publicly accountable entities, we had a very robust discussion. Christoph teed it off by giving an example of saying, why shouldn't we allow a Ferrari to pull a caravan if people want to use it? Of course, there was another view that, would you allow a Nano, for those who don't know what the Nano is, the cheapest car, which is 600cc, three-stroke car, would you allow a Nano to pull a caravan? If you did, sure you can have an engine blowout. Anyway, so people are saying, okay, while it does not stop or may not stop allowing people to use a Nano to pull a light caravan, as the caravan gets loaded, there is a point at which the engine will blow out. So how do we make sure at what point it happens? Anyway, so the discussion was kind of fairly robust. There was a significant minority of views which was sympathetic to removing the barrier to the use of IFRS for SMEs by listed entities. Of course, in that group was a view expressed that while the ISB should set the rules of the game, that who should play the game should be decided by the local regulators. And however, group was not, it was in a minority. The majority still felt that the damage to the brand in allowing jurisdictions to use a standard which was not designed for publicly listed entities may be too much. While the local jurisdiction can maybe use the IFRS for SMEs as a building block to maybe have their own local standard for SMEs, that's fine. But using that as IFRS for SMEs or claiming to be an IFRS converged country may be too damaging to the brand. So that was a view that was held. There was also a view that was expressed that even if there is an exchange with just two companies listed, which was one of the cases put out by one group saying that, look, there are countries where there are developing countries where there are very small companies just starting off. If you mandate them a full IFRS, you'll be asking for too much. Shouldn't you allow them to use the IFRS for SMEs as a stepping stone? A counter view was that, look, a foreign investor who buys into a company, even if it has only two listed companies, is entitled to expect the same level of protection as he would do when he buys in companies in any exchange, for that matter. Just because it's an exchange with just two companies doesn't lower the bar for the quality of the information that you can expect to receive. So with those views that the majority still felt that no, they don't believe that the barrier should be taken away, as these standards were specifically designed for standards for SMEs in mind and not for publicly listed entities. There was even a feeling, a view expressed that maybe we should go back to the old name, which was the original name that was given for the standard, which is accounting for non-publicly accountable entities. But the majority view was that no, we should stay with the current prohibition, which prohibits the use of the standard for listed companies. With whether it should be a standalone document or closely aligned to the IFRS, the view again was expressed that IFRS at the moment is not stable, and trying to link or align it to the full IFRS on a more regular basis actually may defeat the purpose for which this was done, because when it was done, it was meant to be a separate independent document with giving the users a level of stability on the requirements that the particular standard required, and trying to align that to the full IFRS on a more regular basis will take away that very important criteria. So therefore, they felt no, we should stay with it being an independent document and not try to align this closely with the IFRS on a regular basis. Whether that period should be 3 years or longer, that minority group finally won one argument. They said no, it should be 5 years, not 3 years, because they said you should allow a particular period, because if you do a three-year review and there is a change, you will need to do a retrospective adjustment. And therefore, they felt that a five-year period will be more desirable for reviews. Of course, there was a view expressed just after the meeting, and I must convey this anyway, said that people, one group felt that maybe you could keep the 3 years, but make the changes prospective. So these are some of the, that last comment actually came after the meeting was finished, so I'm just conveying that anyway. If any of my members in the committee want to jump in, if I skip something, I know it's a very robust discussion. I was foolish enough to try to get some consensus and gave up. So if there's anybody else who wants to jump in and say something, you're welcome.
Any supplemental comments from Group 1? If not, any questions or comments of others? If not, thank you for that, Riaz. Valeska, Group 2.
Hello, good afternoon. Well, we also have some quite level discussions about this issue. So according to the first questions, whether to permit use of IFRS for SMS by public accountable entities, in fact, the majority of our group was we think that the IFRS for small-sized companies should suit small-sized companies. So what we think that there couldn't be an option for publicly accountable entities to use the small SMS IFRS. And the reason for that rely on the definition of publicly accountable entities, what in our group we considered every company that have access to capital markets, listed or not listed. Despite this, the main reason for that is because we would be reverting all the long way that we have been worked for towards comparativity. From a stakeholder's perspective, it's important to assure that the financial statement is comparable globally. And even for a small-sized company that could apply specific rules, in practice, if they are subsidiaries in countries that have already implemented it, they are strongly and they really comply with the full, they prefer to comply with the full implementation because they need for consolidation purpose. So our question is that our answer is that we shouldn't have an option for publicly accountable entities. Moving to the second question is how to address the changes to full IFRS during reviews of the IFRS for SMS. The need for close alignment with full IFRS versus the need for independent standard focused on the needs for SMS. Well, the majority people of our group, we think that, in fact, we need a balance of responsiveness and also moving towards the full implementation. If the companies, they are small-sized and they really want to have access to global markets and on a going concert basis, we think they should be really try to struggle to be aligned to the full IFRS, even though you have to balance the cost and benefits of all the implementation. So what we support is that when we talk about the balance, what we support is that countries that have already applied these SMS rules, usually they make a simplification of the full IFRS in a way that doesn't conflict with the basic standards and conceptual framework. So obviously, if you have to issue one new standard and you have to change this standard, the full implementation, for instance, IFRS 9, 10, 11, obviously you have to get a kind of simplification for small-sized companies in a way that it doesn't conflict with the full IFRS. So we want a balance of both in a way that we don't mean that we don't need to suit the SMS needs just for make them to survive, but in fact just to enhance the quality of numbers. So what we think about the second question is that a middle-step process for them to reaching a global marketing future. And when we talk about the frequency of reviews, in fact, we consider at minimum 2 to 3 years on average when on a global base, considering that if today they issue a new change in the IFRS, then you have at least 1 year to study and to prepare the small companies in order that the next year they can start implementing. But what we also consider is that depending on the kind of change, if it's a relevant change that can change stakeholders' decisions, then they should fall parallel and perhaps the market should provide, the standard setter should provide some backgrounds to the market in order that when they need to implement all these changes, they really can adapt faster to when they issue the accounting financial statements. Well, and what we think is that even though this three-year period, if it's relevant, they should follow parallel to it and start implementing just at the end, as soon as the IFRS issue the new change in the full standard. And in case you implement afterwards, we really strongly encourage that the SMS companies implement it earlier, mainly depending on the kind of change, the nature of adjustments, in order that the stakeholders cannot have the decision-making harmed by any change that can be made prospectively. That's what we combine. If anyone of our group, please, could add any comments on it. I don't know if I addressed everything.
Any supplemental comments from members of Group 2? So I take it then your group was arguing for a fairly strong alignment of the SMEs, including, I think you said on issue 3 that you would encourage early adoption. Fair enough.
Yes, we are moving to the close alignment, and we think it's important even for small-sized companies.
A very practical question I'd put to both you and Riaz is, I think you were sharing this room as a meeting place, which it wasn't a great arrangement, but at the time we didn't think we could get another room. Was it a problem in terms of being able to carry on a conversation?
No.
Okay, because otherwise we might possibly be able to find another room, but if it seemed to work for you, I think we'll carry on with this arrangement again tomorrow. Thank you for that. Can we move on then? Group 3, Ernesto.
Okay, yeah, again on the first question, a lot of divided opinions. Regarding brand impact, there were participants that were in favor of maybe adopting that, and basically the reason being that in some jurisdictions, they could be better off with good compliance of IFRS for SMEs rather than poor compliance of full IFRS. Also, I mean, it could be viewed as a limitation to small companies that could come to the market and have difficulties with the full standard. But in the end, probably there were more proponents that were in favor of having a clear line to control quality. And in the end, if preparers use IFRS for SMEs, they couldn't claim the full compliance. And, well, in any case, it's regulators of the different countries that basically let companies do one thing or the other. So it's very clear that we should have a clear line for full compliance. In terms of changes, I mean, the idea is that changes should be limited. It's a standard that works, and changes, basically, so there was a discussion if changes to IFRS should be also considering changes for SMEs when they are discussed, and now the conclusion is that basically changes should be viewed after a longer period, and basically the longer period would mean 5 years rather than three. Okay, so I hope I haven't summarized too much. Please jump in.
Questions, supplemental comments from other members of Group 3? All right, then let's move to Group 4, Danielle.
Thanks, Paul. On question one, one expressed views that IFRS for SME might be an improvement for new countries where they have not decided to align. So it's better to have IFRS for SMEs than nothing in those countries. But having said that, the purpose of IFRS for SMEs are not the same. And the majority view is that we should stick with the full IFRS. The question about the impact of the brand came, and it's a question of if we are having two sets of standards for the same thing, then we are opening the door for problems, and we don't want to lose credibility. And at the end, there is a price to pay to get the money from the public, so that price is to comply with the full IFRS. On the second question, we have, in addition to what I've been expressed so far, we think that it's a good reason for a case-by-case analysis to fulfill the need of the users. Because if there is an important change in the full IFRS and that change is perfectly in line with the need of the users of IFRS for SMEs, then it might be a good opportunity to have that, to consider that. But it might be on an exception basis. In terms of the question three, stability for us is important. 3 to 5 years periods, and we know that the trade-off is between more frequent small change versus less frequent, but with a risk of a big bang at the end. But considering the needs of the users of the IFRS for SMEs, we are not expecting any big bangs, so maybe it's a good thing to also consider the fact that with a new IFRS, there is always a post-implementation review, so we can gain from that post-implementation review in order to address a change in the IFRS for SMEs. So that's where we are. I don't know if anybody wants to add to that in my group.
Any comments from Group 4? Questions of others? Thank you for that, Dan. It would seem to me that, well, I guess I should open up generally, having heard the four groups report back. Any reactions of council members? I sense a strong majority view. I mean, some people see allowing PAEs in some instances to use the IFRS for SMEs as being better than they might otherwise use as a basis of reporting. However, against that, I hear the majority view, I think, coming from all four groups saying, no, the greater good is served by preserving the present arrangements and leave it to local regulators to decide if they're going to allow some other basis of accounting. But if they do, it's not IFRS, and that needs to be made clear, hopefully, in whatever reporting comes out of it. And again, I think all four groups were noting the importance, the particular importance of stability for this sector, the limited resources they have, the practical reality of their ability to cope with change. And I think that translates into an independent, standalone standard. Although I thought Group 2 was perhaps pressing more than the other three groups to pick up some changes sooner rather than later. But I sense that the others were really saying you need that independence, which sort of perhaps on an exception basis, if that's what Danielle's group was suggesting, you could evaluate on a case-by-case basis whether there might be merit in moving more quickly, but that would be the exception rather than the norm. And on the third, as to what a reasonable cycle would be, two groups sort of saying something in the order of 5 years would be more appropriate than three. Again, group two saying maybe something 2 to 3 years would be about right. But and several of the groups observing that another advantage of a somewhat longer cycle is that it allows for the possibility of benefiting from more practical experience in terms of having the standard not only issued but actually applied, and that could potentially include post-implementation reviews and that sort of thing, so which might tend to suggest a somewhat longer cycle than 3 years, because in many cases, given the board's policy of delaying the effective date, allowing a significant period of time between the issuance of a standard when it becomes effective, 3 years would, in a number of cases, not really allow for much practical experience in using a standard. So, say I sensed overall a fairly consistent message coming through from that. You know, no, is that consistent with your takeaway? Or
yes, it is, and it's reasonably consistent with where the board sits, I think. We haven't discussed, correct me if I'm wrong, Darrell, but I don't think we've discussed a longer period, a five-year period. But it is something that we could well discuss as we finish this review and looking forward. And it seems a pretty sensible suggestion to me. The only other suggestion we've had, you know, over the years is that maybe we should learn from the SME standards for the IFRSs. Learn how to simplify them and create a more stable platform and all that. So.
Your popularity would soar to new heights. Darrell, anything that you wanted to add by way of final?
That has been helpful, Paul, so thank you.
Well, and again, thank you very much to the discussion leaders for agreeing to take it on. Julie, did you have a comment? Do you want?
Yeah, just a question about, you know, the countries whose existing standards are, say, lesser quality or perceived to be than the IFRS for SMEs. There's nothing, correct me if I'm wrong, this is open source. There's nothing that stops them from adopting the technology, if you will. So this isn't about whether they can get access. It's about the cachet of IFRS. So it's once they've used it, what do they call it? And if they call it Antarctica Gap, which is better than old Antarctica Gap, I don't think anyone has a problem. The upgrade is there, and everybody, the world is better off. In their own country, for domestic purposes, that you know, calling it Antarctica Gap gets you where you need to go. I think it's where Antarctica now decides, hey, you know, we'd like outside investors, outside our borders, to get a better beat on what we have. And for that purpose, it's easier to call it IFRS for something than Antarctica Gap, because then that has a not only a credibility cachet, but a familiarity. And that's exactly, you know, the risk that I think people are trying to protect against. So I just wanted to be clear. I don't think we're holding back progress by the view, by those that had that view.
And as I said in the small group, the UK Gap is an example. They've taken the IFRS for SME, fiddled with it a bit, and called it UK Gap. That's fine.
And coming back to what we were talking about earlier with the profiles, I mean, if there's more information about what the basis of reporting in play in a particular jurisdiction are and their connection or not to IFRS, that's, I think, got to be positive and would support your point that there's nothing preventing people from taking it up. But I think all four groups came to the conclusion that the labeling is really important. And having done it, you've got to get the label right. And I think what we would see is over time, hopefully there would be peer pressure. There would be nothing to prevent others potentially from using IFRS or the IFRS for SMEs. And hopefully market pressure over time would push them that way. She smiles.
You know, just observation, since observers aren't subject to term limits, I've been at a few advisory council meetings over the course of my time at the SEC, and this discussion sounds a lot like one go back X years about IFRS itself.
All right. Well, thank you very much, everyone. That concludes the agenda we had planned for today. Is there anything members want to raise at this juncture before we adjourn? Otherwise, I'll remind you, we have the arrangements here. I think it's the same general area for the reception and dinner.
Down in the next room.
Down in the next room. And again, tomorrow morning, there are breakfast meetings scheduled for 8 o'clock for the emerging markets and the user groups. And we'll resume on schedule with the open session as set out in the agenda. So, thank you.